This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Okay, a non-scientific poll, how many, a scale of 1 to 10, how many would say, and 1 being low, 10 being high, scale of 1 to 10, you had like a 7 to 9 kind of week. Really good, super strong. Okay, first gathering, lots. Okay, how many of you say, this was a rough week? Let me see your hands, that's okay. The Lord knows we're at church, okay? How many are saying, but today, I got up and I was ready, and today's getting, it's starting to tick up. How many of you is progressing? Now, let's also be honest, how many are like, yeah, but tomorrow I go back to work and it's dropping? Anyone? Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here, and if we haven't met, my name's Jeffrey, and I joined the team recently, and in fact, next week, Pastor Tom and I are team teaching. And that is going to be super fun. Couple of Arctic, what's our hair color?
Arctic blonde.
Arctic blonde. He said that. I was like, I'm taking that. I like that. And so next week we're going to be teaching together, continuing in our series. But last week we were in Luke chapter 8, and it's kind of a story within a story, okay? And we're talking about two groups. A woman who's had an issue, a physical condition for 12 years, and she's desperate. And then a dad, his name's Jairus, who has a 12-year-old daughter, it's his only daughter, and she's sick to the point where she's about to die, and he's desperate. Now, I get it. In a room this big, those watching online, there are people here today that outwardly everything looks good. But honestly, internally, if you're unfiltered, you would say, man, I'm desperate for a touch of God also. And I want you to hear this. Every week, in every gathering, we're going to extend an invitation for people to say yes to Jesus. You're going to get prayed for, and you have an opportunity for the desperate condition, wherever you find yourself, to be addressed and for people to walk with you. It's why we talk about the connection, the next steps card, because we believe this. In the body of Christ, nobody should have to go alone. So again, I get it. Sometimes I come to church, and I look like everything's good, but I'm wrestling with something. That this needs to be a safe place for messy people investigating the gospel, not sure, to come in and go, I just want to take my next step. So today, I invite you to do that. And if you're feeling desperate, but no one knows, you have come to the right place. So we pick it up, chapter 8, verse 40. Jesus comes back into town, and the people had heard about him, so they're expecting him, and a large crowd of people have gathered. In verse 41, it says this, then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet. Now, real quick, that's very unusual behavior for a synagogue leader. They would be respected, dignified, like put together type people. And so we know he's desperate and he's pleading for Jesus to come to his house. And Jesus hears him. He hears why he's fallen at his feet. My daughter, who's 12, is dying. And Jesus is like, okay. And so now they're making their way to Jairus' house. Now, the problem is this. Even though Hope's on the way to the house, there's a woman who's in the crowd who's had an issue. She has gone to see doctors. We'll read the text. And she's desperate, so desperate that she does something illegal. We see this. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd's almost crushed him. He's packed in. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. That's a place of desperation. Another chunk of scripture in the gospel said she had exhausted all of her resources. She'd spent everything she had, and no one could solve or fix the problem. So she is seriously desperate. And she came up, touching all sorts of people, making them unclean, even though they don't know it. And she touches the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Now, put yourself in this moment for a second. 12 years of heartache and sadness and desperation, and immediately you're like, I wonder if she was like surprised, like it actually worked, right? Like Moses at the sea, boom, and the sea parts. No one was more surprised than Moses, right? But this woman is like, something's different. And she's the only one who knows, except Jesus. And we see this. Jesus says, who touched me? Now, Peter responds, and Peter, I call him Peter the pop-off, because Peter always has something to say. You never wonder what Peter's thinking, because he always shares it, okay? And if you're sitting by someone that does that, don't point at him, okay? But he's like, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. He's like, Jesus, come on. And Jesus says, no, someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me. Now, just real quick, it's interesting that this woman was healed, but all of the other people who touched Jesus didn't experience anything. That's a whole nother unpacking type thing, but to continue the story, remember, they're on their way to Jairus' house. So while Jairus has hope for a moment, Jesus pulls the e-brake of the whole procession, and instead of going to the house, they stop, and now Jesus is interacting with this woman. If you're Jairus, you're like, why are you dealing with her? This lady's unclean. She's socially unacceptable. And the very fact that Jesus pauses and highlights and heals this woman is significant for all of us here today. It means that we're all eligible for the goodness and the grace of God. And sometimes we come to church, or we have someone that doesn't come to church with us because they think they've forfeited God's favor, that they've gone too far, they've done too much, they're too broken, they're too messy. But you can't outrun the grace and the grasp of God. This is good news for us. Jesus does also in this moment something that would set him apart. He placed value on this woman. And I believe this. No one in the history of the planet did more for women's rights than Jesus. He placed value. And now how do you think he's going to respond? She's doing something illegal. She stops the procession. Jesus says, who touched me? I know someone touched me because power has gone out from me. And while Jairus is there waiting, I don't know, but I wonder if he's like, listen, she's old, my daughter's young, she's more important than her, I don't know. But as a parent, you're desperate, you're like, you thought something might happen? Remember, the life expectancy back then was much shorter. Maybe Jairus and his wife had lost another child before. And he's like, my wife cannot go through this again. We don't know all of the circumstances, but he's desperate. And I think it's just good for us to pause and just recognize this. Broken people are God's specialty. And you know how I know that? Because that's all of our story. Some it's more obvious. Broken people, who's that? Me? You? And the message of the gospel is good news for broken people just like us. Sometimes professional pastor people like me, and we do this kind of faith. The gospel's good news. You're like, your face didn't find out yet, right? It's good news for all of us, because all of us are in need of the grace and the mercy of God. Broken people. The very woman who'd avoid the crowds is now the center of attention. Then the woman, by the way, she denied her first act after being healed by God is to lie. That's in the Bible. He's like, who touched me? Everyone denies it. She's like, I wonder if I can like blend in and then just slink away. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. Why is she trembling? She just broke the law. She's been pushed aside. She's been humiliated. And now she's probably thinking, here it goes again. She fell at his feet. She explained to Jesus, and all in front of all the people, why she had touched him and how she had instantly been healed. And then how does Jesus respond? How dare you? No. Honestly, some of us think that's probably what God's going to do if I keep coming back to him. Honestly, do you ever think, God's like, hey, you should know better by now. So I'm not going to forgive that one. No. It's not true, but we might think that. And how Jesus responds to her was how he responds to us. He says this, daughter, and that's a tender term. That's an affectionate response. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. He's saying, have what you haven't had for 12 years, peace. Now, all that's good for her, but Jairus' daughter is still sick. And while we pick it up here, verse 49, while Jesus was still speaking, Someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. And this isn't news. This is the worst news possible that he's about to get. This isn't shout across the room. This isn't 20 feet away, hey, Jairus. This is get up close news. And here was the news. He says, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And in this moment, any hope he had that Jesus is now on the way to his house is dashed. You ever been around someone, maybe at work or at a restaurant, like your booth is by their booth, and they're like eavesdropping on your conversation? Maybe your cubicle's by their cubicle. Maybe you're on an airplane and like two rows ahead, like craning their neck to hear what you... Jesus is like the ultimate eavesdropper, okay? But in a good way, okay? And so I think this was a quiet moment between Jairus's, you know, worker saying, hey, Jairus, don't bother him anymore. I think it was a face-to-face. But Jesus overhears. And I think in this moment, this might sound weird, but I think in this moment, Jesus gets more excited about going to Jairus's house because now it'll even be that much more of a miracle. Now, we don't want the bad news. In fact, how many of you, we want a miracle? Yeah. I just don't want the situation that requires a miracle. I want miracles. But I don't want miracle-requiring situations. You can't have one without the other. And Jairus is desperate and needs a miracle. Hearing this, overhearing what was said to Jairus, Jesus says to Jairus, what every angel says when they appear to a person, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. It could seem almost unkind if you didn't understand from Jesus' perspective. Because he's saying, listen, you just found out your daughter died. Don't be afraid. But see, this is where it's critical for us to know. Jesus sees what we don't. His perspective is eternal. Ours is temporary. His is infinite. Ours is finite. It's limited. God sees what we can. He sees further than we can. He's not bound by time. And in the midst of all that, he cares. And he knows he's about to do something that will propel the gospel, the good news of who he is. I did write this in my notes that fear is a natural place to start. We just shouldn't stay there. Some of us, like, we're like, you're bothered. You're like, I should have more faith. Why am I full of fear? Why am I hesitant? It's okay to start with, I have questions, Lord. I don't understand. In fact, I'm afraid because this wasn't what I hoped for. And fear's a natural place to start. We just don't have to stay there. And that's where prayer is this beautiful invitation to exchange our anxiety, our uncertainty, even our fears for God's peace. He says, cast all your cares, cast all your anxieties upon me because I care for you. Jesus heard and he says, listen, don't be afraid. Just believe and your daughter will be healed. He's speaking to something that hasn't happened yet. And prophecy speaks to what is apparent, but it addresses what is approaching. He's speaking prophetically over Jairus' daughter. So it's apparent she's died, but he's speaking to what's about to happen. And that's what he does in all of our lives. That's what he does in our hearts, our minds, our marriages. That's what he does because he's good. Now, they finally arrive at Jairus' house. And when they arrive at the house, it says this, he did not let anyone go in except Peter, James, and John. By the way, this is the same group that would experience the transfiguration in chapter 9, this miraculous moment with Jesus and Elijah and Moses. It was incredible. But, and the parents. So Jesus, Peter, James, John, and mom and dad. Outside, meanwhile, all the people are wailing and mourning for her, which is totally appropriate. Because she has passed away. In the midst of that as a backdrop, people are grieving. Now, there are, in some cases, paid mourners who would show up. We don't know if this was that situation. It could have been a sudden death. It could have been something like, hey, she's about to die, get the people. We don't know. But a bunch of people are mourning the loss of this 12-year-old girl. And to that, Jesus says, stop wailing. She's not dead, but asleep. And what do? They laugh. Before we judge them, they don't know what Jesus is about to do. And they laugh because what he says seems so outlandish. They know she died. The mom's response when she came out of the room, their daughter is dead. Now what Jesus is doing is he has created an opportunity for people to see his supernatural power. I realize for them then and for us now, there are times where God heals and other times he doesn't. And here's what I would say to that, like as a trained professional, it's a mystery. There are times where God does the instantaneous healing. And there's times where we call out to God for years and nothing happens. But I do want you to have this confidence and hope that because our bodies, because our lives are limited and finite, we will experience healing at some point in eternity. And here's the good news of this. Our lifespan, I mean, what is it, like tiny, right? Let's say we lived to 95. Eternity is unlimited. So the hope that we have is not just for now. The hope we have is for eternity. And I love that verse that says, we do not mourn as those who don't have hope. It's not that we don't mourn, but we mourn with hope, knowing that this is not all that there is. Jesus speaks into the situation. And as I was preparing this a few weeks ago, I was thinking about my first moment with a dead person. And as a pastor, I was 22 years old, youth pastor. I got assigned to go visit the mom of a family in our church over in Burien. And I get to the hospital. I don't have a clue what I'm doing, right? And I go in and she's like incoherent. And I go and I grabbed her hand and I prayed a prayer. It was really short, authentic and genuine, but tiny, right? And I was like, simple prayer. And I'm like, not sure what to do, so I'll just wait here. So I just sat there for a second, and then she does this. And I'm sitting in the chair like, my prayer killed her. That's the opposite of why I'm here, right? I am not good at the hospital visit stuff, clearly, right? First one, bad track record, right? And it felt like, I'm not kidding, it felt like forever. It was probably 30 seconds. And I'm sweaty, palms, I'm like, and she's like, the Lord and I just were celebrating, right? We sometimes don't know what to do in those moments of loss. And I'm not minimizing death at all, and I'm not trivializing it. I just know this, that it's part of the human condition, but the grace of God is equally available to every person in humanity. And we're going to say this a lot. You hear me say this a lot. Jesus isn't our last hope. He's our only hope. So we can have great doctors, and I'm for them, and we can have great medicine, and we can have miracles, and this body will not last forever. I was talking to Pastor Dave, who leads traditions, this morning. I said, how you doing? And he's like, well, my left shoulder and my left hip ache. I basically need a transplant of the whole left side, right? I'm like, I relate to that more and more. But this is temporary. And this is why eternity matters so much. Not just for us, but for our family and friends. Jesus had just spoken to her. And he says to her, little girl, get up. But now he grabs her by the hand. And her spirit returned. And at once, she stood up. Then Jesus told them, get her a fruit snack, basically, right? What does a 12-year-old girl want, okay? He did that. He says, go get her something to eat. Here's why. So it would be visibly obvious that she had come back to life. She's now eating. Get her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he ordered them. This sounds odd, but I'll tell you why. He ordered them not to tell anybody what had happened. What? I'd be like Jerusalem Times front page, right? But it's because he wanted to continue to travel. We won't see till the next chapter, chapter 9, where he sends out the 12. If you've seen anyone with, any celebrity, people mob around him, right? Jesus wanted to be able to travel freely and go to town to town to proclaim the message, the new kingdom of God, understanding also that word of mouth, that this story would in fact still get out. Now, here's what's so beautiful about this incredible story, is this 12-year-old girl gets her life back. And I wonder, how did she live after that day? Now, I don't think she was stooped into sin and had a drug cartel or something. We don't know her story, right? All we know is this. When you get your life back, you get a fresh start. And here's what I'm gonna tell you. You could be 12 or 120. If you get your life back, you gotta ask the question, is there anything I wanna do different? How do I wanna live now? I wanna live on purpose and for a purpose. See, the good news of the gospel is God takes broken things, messy things, and he does something beautiful out of them. And isn't it true? That is all of our stories. Jesus always, and Pastor Tom and I are going to talk more about this next week, Jesus always addresses our most important need, not our most obvious need. And I know most of the time my focus is on the obvious. God, I need this, and I need this. And sometimes the obvious is really important, but he always addresses the most important, which is our heart. So a couple of truths from the text today. This little girl couldn't have faith for herself because she had passed away. And we can intercede and intervene in prayer on behalf of our friends and our family. And maybe you have someone in your life that doesn't have the capacity or right now even the care enough to approach God. You can bring them before the Lord on their behalf. That's called intercessory prayer. The Bible says we can stand in the gap. Here's them or us, and here's the need, and they can't span it. Our prayers become these bridges, these beautiful pathways. And it's us advocating. And I would propose most of us, before we said yes to Jesus, had someone praying for us. And I just want to remind you, if there's some prayers you've set down that you need to pick back up, God hears those prayers. Maybe you used to pray with boldness and courage and confidence, but nothing happened. Like this woman, 12 years? That's a long time to keep saying, Lord, help. Maybe for you it's 2 decades. I just want to invite you to pick that prayer up again, because God's able to reach into whatever circumstance and situation, and he brings hope into hopelessness. A couple more thoughts. Salvation, experiencing the grace and the mercy of God, is not because we're so bad, but because he's so good. You'll say, why did Jesus come? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And it wasn't because we'd ever earn it or could prove our love or need. Our sin, the Bible says, separates us from God. And this is where even last week we talked about sometimes we need outside help to experience an inward transformation. And that's what Jesus does actually for our souls. And so every week at Gateway, in every gathering, we're going to present the gospel, extend an opportunity for us to respond, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and classmates. And we trust that God continues to bring the transformation in our lives from the inside out. That's what we talked about last week. Sanctification, instant, and then progressive. There's this journey of becoming less and less like the old us and more like Jesus. Aren't you grateful for that? Come on, aren't you grateful that God meets you? Come on, if I like, you know, had a microphone, I could say, tell me just a tiny bit of your story. Like you heard from Megan this morning, how Moms and More have played such a critical part in her life. It's because the body of Christ coming together, all of our stories are miracle stories. All of our stories are stories of hope. Because when you intersect our story with his story, is a beautiful story. I won't do this every week, but from time to time, I'll write a prayer out of a talk that I've been praying for you for the last few weeks. And so here's that prayer. I pray today for those who find themselves in a season of desperation. And as I mentioned earlier, some of you, it doesn't look like it, but you know, on the inside, something serious needs to be addressed. Maybe you're even feeling alone or unseen. God, you see us and you know our need. You hear our cry. I ask for your grace to sustain and uplift us. I was praying for you, them. give us just enough courage. About how much courage do you need? The answer is just enough. Give us just enough courage to walk in faith, trusting that you're able to address both our obvious and our most important needs. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As I promised, every week we want to extend an invitation to surrender your life to Christ. In fact, it's one of the reasons that we do the text in more, and then we also have these next step connection cards. I want to just invite anyone that would say, Jeffrey, I don't know God. I know about him, but today I want to surrender my life to Christ. Pastor Tom and I talked about this. Pastor Mario and I were talking about it. We interact with people so often that say, I want to accept Christ, I don't know how. And that's why we want to just make it real simple. The gospel is so simple. We were lost. Jesus was the search and rescue mission to find us, and now we can be found. That's the message of the gospel. It's the good of the news, which is the gospel. And today, if you want to become a follower of Jesus, by the way, maybe you'd say, like, I'm like 5 steps from him, but I have questions. Write that question on here. Just say, I got questions. Can I talk to a pastor? Yes. Wherever you're at in your journey. But for those that are saying today is the day I want to surrender my life to Christ. We want to lead you in a simple prayer. You can write down, as Pastor Tom mentioned earlier, prayer request. Maybe that you're going to lean into generosity. Maybe you want to join a group, whatever it might be. But today, if you want to accept Christ, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And then we're going to close with a send-up song of declaring God takes our graves. Oh, come on. And he turns them into gardens. Would you bow your head across this space? And if you want to say yes to Jesus and be led in a simple prayer, you can pray this. Jesus, today I acknowledge my sin and my need for you. I believe in my heart that you are God, and I confess with my mouth that you were raised from the dead, and today I choose to follow you. I invite you to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray that simple prayer, God begins this transformation work from the inside out. If you want to share that story with us, mark the box, drop it in, because we want to walk with you. I want to invite you, if you're able, would you stand as Jason and the team lead us in this declaration that God does what only he can do. He turns graves into gardens.